Peter not only had a full-time job with Auntie, but he was also working hard behind the scenes, campaigning for a community radio broadcast license to serve listeners in Melbourne's Outer East. He also became involved with Era TV, one of eight original founder groups of Channel 31. And it was there that he met my colleague Bill Page. Bill, of course, is a presenter here at Radio Eastern, but he's had a long involvement with community TV. And he's provided us with an interview he recorded with Peter MacArthur a few years before Peter passed. Well, here Peter is talking about those very first days at Eastern Community Broadcasters and the people behind it.
Four of us, really. You could say Stan Bannon, myself, Herb Lilburn and Gerald Smart. Gerald was the Mayor of Ringwood at the same time, or close to the time that I was Mayor of Croydon. And the government, the federal government, made available, this was about 1974, for money that broke Australia up into a number of regions. In fact, round here, the region for the Outer East took in about seven or eight councils. You could form a group and then apply for money for a major project. And the project that we put together, that was Herb Lilburn, Stan Bannon, Jerry Smart and myself, was to have a community radio station. And in the offing coming up soon, we were told there were going to be a request to have licence hearings for community FM radio stations. But back in 1974, it was only AM, so the licence that they advertised for was for Melbourne. It was to be AM. Now, what we had to do then is get organised with, say, the Croydon Council. Could they give us some land? Because in those days, an AM transmitter required an earth mat and a mast, quite a big one. You needed room. And they, up in Colchester Road, the council said, well, we've got some land up there, a bit swampy sort of land, but that's ideal. So they said, if you get the licence, we will allow you to use that land and we'll also help you out. And so the first hearing was in 1974 and we didn't get it. There were about 13 applicants, but the group that got it holds the licence still, and that's 3CR, and it's still going. Then there was a bit of a hiatus for a while, nothing much happened, and then a few years later they decided to let the groups who didn't get it but wanted smaller stations for their area, and we did, you could apply for licences and they would have a hearing eventually. But we had to do test broadcasts in the meantime, and those test broadcasts went on. And I think you attended one, Bill, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I was part of the test broadcast for about 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yes, that's right. And it took...
But you'd been going long before that. How long had it been before I sort of came along? About a decade, I think.
Yeah, well, we were doing tests. 1974 we got together first, but we didn't win. But we stuck together, and right through up until getting it in 1990, we worked to get it, and so, we did test broadcasts, and you attended some.
So that was, doing the addition, that was 16 years before
16 we... 16 years it took, 16 years. And you might say, why did you keep going?
Yeah, well, I will, but you were already on radio and television. What got you enthused about starting in your hobby another radio, you know, talking on radio again? And how did you maintain your enthusiasm for 16 years before it eventuated?
Well, 16 years, yes, you're dead right there. And the reason for that is because we thought it was just around the corner. But it didn't turn out to be like that. But we're waiting and we're pushing and talking to local members of parliament. Tony Staley, he was the Minister of Communications at that time, federal minister, and he lived in our area. He lived at Warrenwood, mm-hmm. And we used to see him quite a bit. And we used to talk to him quite often, have coffee with him at Eastland.
And he'd keep you whooped up by saying, it's just around the corner, Peter.
Yes. And we'd say, Tony, we can do it. But Tony was being told by certain guys in Canberra, a little bit, make it a little bit difficult by the sound of things. And we felt that we'd got through a few messages. We were trying to, and Jerry Smart was an engineer, and so was Herb Lilburn. They were pushing and telling him, and I was too, that there was room on the dial, and if we had lower power, you could ration the frequencies. Anyway, eventually they laid it down and had to do tests, so test broadcasts, and on when we decided to do, they'd give us 3 days. That was Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We had to then set it up, usually on the Thursday night, and pull it all down on the Sunday night after we'd finished. Most of the first one we did was on Loughton's Hill in Ringwood, but most of the other tests were done where we are now, Cheong's Hill.
What's our broadcast area? What was it then? Has it changed in the meantime?
No, it was always the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne, and we named, I think, 6 or 8 municipalities, 6, I think, and those they gave us great help. Ringwood and Croydon, Knox, Lilydale and Doncaster.
How was that decided?
The government drew out plans and said it was going. This is when we're getting close to 1990. We were still doing tests, but nothing was happening. They laid down a date in 1990 for the tribunal to meet to listen to the areas that wanted this community radio.
So there was other areas, north, south, east, west.
Yes, there were southern, there was northern, and there was the Yarra Valley and also Mountain District. So that was set, and the whole idea, we had to present ourselves. I told all the others, for goodness sake, we're going to sit before a tribunal. Please wear a suit and a tie. And then they all did, which is good, and the ladies looked very nice. There were 6 of us who went representing the committee, and we had to justify them giving us a licence, and we'd already put plans in hundreds of pages over the years to them, and they had all the files, and they make you stick to those rules now, because if we do something, they can look back and find out what our pledge was, what we pledged to do. When we started, well, we're here at Wairena Community Arts Centre, they got some money from the Australian Assistance Plan, that was the council, to build a hall, a community hall, which is the Cattermole Hall, but also to place a radio station at one end of it.
So that's how we got to Wairena.
That's how we got to Wairena. Well, being I was, Stan Bannon was a Croydon councillor, I was a Croydon councillor too, so it helped, probably helped a bit.
You got the licence. How long was it before we actually went on air full time?
They said we had to be on the air within 1 year or the licence would not be valid. But we were ready.
We were. I was there in the studio when we first went officially to air. It was you, me and Ron Welch.
We decided on it was going to be the Croydon Festival on the 24th of February.
And another good benefit of it, we weren't test broadcasting anymore, so we didn't have to climb up Cheong Hill, which is so steep, I just can't describe it.
Well, all the announcers had to go up there during the test broadcast, but once that was over, the announcers could go in and at Wairena, and the transmitter would go up there and continue to broadcast.
In those days, I was a lot younger and a lot fitter than I am now. I could run 10 kilometres at the drop of a hat, and walking up that Cheong Hill with some records under your arm, I was absolutely puffing when I got to the top.
Yeah, I know, and it's and also the tower, before we actually got the licence, I had to go and pick up the transmitter in my car, the borrowed transmitter from one of the companies in over near Dandenong, which had the transmitter and would sort of lend it out to the various applicants, hoping probably that they'd buy a transmitter when we got the permanent licence. And I'd put the transmitter and would fit in the back of my car. I had a Holden and fit in the back of the car. And the aerial, I was able to fit in the boot and any equipment that went with it. So really, you could broadcast at a pinch from a car. But we didn't, and I'd drive it up there on the Thursday night, and then someone would have to go up the tower, and I was the silliest, I guess. The others didn't want to go up the tower, and I'd climb up the tower, which is the water tower, and on top of Cheong's Hill.
So you had to walk up the hill and then climb the tower.
I'd drive the car right up. The neighbour next to the tower let me use his sealed drive so we didn't have to slip, because it wasn't sealed, that steep road then. And then I'd put a rope around my waist and climb it. And then when I got to the top, I'd drop the rope and they'd tie things to it, like the aerial and a box of spanners. And I'd drag it up there and up the top. Then I'd use the spanners to put it on the fence that surrounded the top. Then we'd drop the cable down into the caravan, which was the studio. And so that's how we did the test. It was all very exciting, but pretty primitive. I remember we started off using pieces of chipboard as the main desk where the announcer worked. And it was chipboard, no nails, but held together by the weight of the equipment. Over the years, well, we've developed into two studios, which we can alternate, but there's three, Studio 3, Studio 4, and Studio 5 is the caravan that goes on the outside broadcast. The whole idea that Canberra wanted was that we go out and mix among the people, do broadcasts, do interviews, more so than just playing music.
And we've maintained that all the time, and you've been a real progressive leader in that.
We try to remind them and show people the original submission, because they were very strict. They said, because they were being hammered up there by the commercials, the commercial group, they said they didn't want to know anything about these news stations, because we were allowed to advertise, or to sponsorship anyway, which is a bit like advertising. And the commercials, I think, quite rightly, and if I was a commercial manager, I would have thought the same, that these people are going to take a bit of the pie, the advertising pie. And yes, we have, but it hasn't really worried the commercials, because they have a really big income.
Now, we've talked about the studios. We've gone from one to five studios. What about on the technical side? We've got a bit more computerised, haven't we?
Yes, we have, and it works well, but you've got to re-sort of learn it, because with analog, you might only use two press switches to get on the air. With the digital, it appears that you need more, maybe five or six. Now, you soon learn that, but it is an extra thing, and even though it works, and it works as well as analog, really, but, you know, that's the trend everywhere. Radio is very simple, really, and it's been simple since 1925.
Peter MacArthur in conversation with Bill Page.